Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA for 10% off today. Aloha and welcome to the 43rd episode of the Boy Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Monica Swanson, and I'm so glad you're here with me today. Here on the Boy Mom Podcast, it's my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising boys in this often crazy world. I've really enjoyed hearing from so many new listeners in the past few weeks. I know some of you are just finding me by searching on podcasts for topics related to raising boys, and I just am so encouraged. We are in this together. We need each other, and I hope that so many of the topics that you're interested in are covered here. I'm always open to your suggestions, so please feel free to email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. Tell me some of the things that would be most supportive and encouraging to you as you raise your sons. I've tried to cover a whole lot of topics related to boys of all ages, whether they're babies, toddlers, teenagers, or maybe launching into the big world. And I love to encourage you. Most of you know I wrote a book called Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You. And it is covering the 12 things I believe our sons need most from us before they launch into the world. So I hope that you've been able to read that. If you haven't, get your hands on it. It's going to be encouraging, I promise. Okay, I want to thank you one more time for your ratings and reviews over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. They have encouraged me so much. I read everyone and I really appreciate it. So if you haven't left a rating or review yet, maybe you want to hit pause and go on over, leave a 5 stars or a couple words about what you love about this podcast, and it'll mean a lot to me. These also help other people find the podcast, okay? There's a reason for them. It really does affect how many people see the podcast. I don't know how the algorithms work, but I just know that's a fact, okay? So thank you so much. Now today we are talking about something a little bit different. This is not specifically about raising boys, but it's very relevant to everyone. We're talking about Lent today. I really wanted to have this conversation right before Lent starts because Lent isn't something I've always understood very well. It's not one of those things I grew up observing. I didn't necessarily even see it as relevant to my personal walk with God. But in the past couple of years, I feel like Lent is coming up more and more. It's kind of, I don't know, trending. It's something that people are talking about. They're giving something up or fasting from something. They might be doing a Lent study. And I wanted to understand really what that was all about and how observing Lent might benefit my faith and the faith of my children. So I was thrilled to be able to get in touch with Asherita Chuchu, who just published the most beautiful book called Uncovering the Love of Jesus. It's a Lent devotional, and it is so good to use either personally or for your family, especially because Asherita has all kinds of links and resources and free downloads that you can get to help you get really practical about walking through Lent with your kids. Now, Asherita has so many encouraging things to say. this conversation really touched me. Like, I was getting emotional because she has such a beautiful way of inviting us in, explaining what Lent is all about, and most importantly, how Lent is really about preparing our hearts for Easter. I don't want to say too much. I'm going to let you listen to her, but I'll tell you that it really encouraged me. Like, I'm so eager now to begin these 40 days leading up to Easter with my family, really with a heart focused on the love of Jesus, and as she says, how I can better love those in my life. So I'm excited to share this with you. This is one of those episodes you can share with everybody, not just boy mom. So I hope you'll spread the word, share it with your friends, your relatives. I again just think that there's so much practical stuff in here we can all use, and I hope it's a huge encouragement to all of you. Okay, so you will find show notes at monicaswanson.com/podcast. In my excitement to talk about Lent, I totally forgot to have Asherita introduce herself. That's really terrible. But the good news is, Asherita was on before. She was in episode 34 talking about her Advent devotional, which is also amazing. So if you want to hear her official introduction, you can go to episode 34, listen to Asherita talk about her kids and her background. And she's a Bible scholar. This woman is amazing. And so I think you'll appreciate hearing about her. But you will also find her bio and links to everything we talk about in our show notes. So hop over there, grab all the links. She even gives a option to text the word love to a number and get a free download. And as soon as she told me that, I was like, I got to try this. And I did it and it worked. And it's this beautiful download. So everyone can do that today. You don't even have to get the book, and she's giving you a beautiful download. So without further ado, I'm going to let you listen in as Asherita and I talk about uncovering the love of Jesus, what is Lent all about, and how you can bring your family, your heart into this season leading up to Easter. I hope you enjoy. Asherita, welcome back on the Boy Mom Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back, Monica.
Yes, it wasn't very long ago. One season seems to lead right to the next around here, but Asherita was with me on episode 34 as we talked about Advent, and it was such an encouraging conversation. So many women loved everything Asherita had to share, and so I am just thrilled that you can take the time to be with me today. So thanks again.
Yeah, I'm excited that we get to talk about this.
Yes, yes. So I quickly wanted to get Asherita on because, you know, I don't know if I'm the only one, but seasons sneak up on me.
Oh man.
I feel like I'm always the one going, wait, what? It's Easter next week? Like, how could that be? And in the past few years, I have really started to notice that Lent is something. Lent, the Lenten season. I think I grew up hearing the word Lent, maybe knowing it had something to do with, you know, the days leading up to Easter, but really not really doing anything to acknowledge Lent. But in the past couple of years, it seems like I'm hearing about Lent more and more. And now, Asherita, you wrote a beautiful book, Uncovering the Love of Jesus, which is a Lent devotional. And I got it in advance. Thank you so much. And I have just been diving into it already. And I want you to just help us all learn about Lent. I just want to ask you some questions so that anyone listening that's like me and feels like this is kind of new, let's dive in and talk about Lent, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
First of all, I want you to just tell us, what is Lent? For anyone like me who didn't grow up really doing the Lent thing, talk to us about what Lent is and why we would celebrate it.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you because I didn't grow up observing Lent either. I had heard about it and for me, honestly, it was something that Catholics did, denominations did.
Right.
And I think I don't know if it was intentionally portrayed this way or it was just misunderstood to be this way, but I thought it was what Catholic people did to earn God's favor. I mean, I'm just going to say it straight.
Sure.
And so I was like, nope, that we don't do that. Like, we believe salvation by God's grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else. So for the longest time, I wrote off not just Lent, but really the liturgical calendar as something that didn't have a place in evangelical lives. And it wasn't until I got to college, I went to an evangelical school, and I so many classmates were asking me, what are you giving up for Lent? And Monica, I was baffled. I was like, wait, what? We're doing this? Like, this is so weird. Why are you asking me what I'm giving up for Lent? So my first few years of observing Lent, really, I was just so focused on fasting and giving something up. And to be completely truthful, I gave up sugar the first year because I wanted to lose some weight. Like, that was really the bottom line.
Totally.
This would be kind of nice. I mean, I had friends who would give up The Bachelor or they would give up Facebook. Like, basically, it was like sin management, right? You get to
Yes.
a point in the year and you're like, this isn't really God's best for me, so I'm gonna fast from it for 40 days and maybe identify with some of Jesus' suffering and maybe be a better Christian on the other side of this.
Exactly.
So it wasn't until a few years ago that I started digging into the history of Lent. And there's a book from Moody Publishers by Aaron Damiani. It's called The Good of Giving Up. And it was just so eye-opening for me to understand the historical roots of this practice, but really how the spiritual disciplines are not something that we do to impress God, because there's nothing we can do that can impress him. It's not something we do to earn salvation, because our salvation was accomplished and finished by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. There's nothing we can add to that. Instead, Lent is an invitation from God to us that we would draw near to him, that we would humble ourselves, that we would acknowledge that we are human, that we're not super heroes. We can't keep going in our own pride or in our own strength. And we'll talk a little bit maybe about the somberness of the season and why that's a good thing. But it's just an invitation to experience God's grace in a new way. I think it's an opportunity for us to feast our hearts and our imaginations on the beauty and the richness of the gospel story. Because so many of us who have grown up in Christian families, the gospel and Jesus' death, it just becomes so familiar that it fails to move our hearts. Like, I would be sitting there in a Good Friday service, like, I know this should move me, but I just can't muster up the emotion, you know? And there is this familiarity that kind of breeds an indifference. And so Lent is an invitation for us to slow down the busyness of our lives, for those of us with kids to invite our children into this experience, this journey leading up to Easter, in which we practice traditional disciplines like fasting and prayer and sacrificial giving, as a way, as Paul says, to be crucified with Christ, to know not just the power of his resurrection, but to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And in that, to gain a deeper awareness of God's great love for us in Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's good stuff right there. I love it. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that, right?
Yeah. And again, it's not something you have to do. Like, with this book coming out, people ask me, like, why should Christians observe Lent? And I always correct them, like, they shouldn't. You don't have to. Again, the work is finished. You don't have to. It is an invitation. If your heart is crying out, I want a deeper awareness of God's love for me in Jesus Christ, I want to more fully surrender myself to God for him to use me, to have his way in me. It's an invitation from God to us, but it's also an invitation from us to God to say, here I am, God. I want more of you.
Oh, I love that. And I guess I'm also just kind of curious, do you feel like this is something that's become more of a thing? Is it our generation right now that's trying to bring back tradition? Or I don't know. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. 'Cause, yeah.
I do think there's a growing trend, and I've been having these conversations with other people my age. I'm a millennial, and I think what I see in my generation and those younger than us is a desire to belong to something bigger than us. For so long, I think Christianity has emphasized the personal relationship of us and Jesus. Like, it's a personal relationship, and there's this sense of individuality. And I understand the heart behind that, but I think it's so important to millennials and, like I said, those coming up after us to know it's not just a personal relationship. You are part of the larger body of Christ, of a community of believers that have existed for 2,000 years, and there is something grounding in participating in practices of discipleship that our grandparents did, that our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did, right?
Totally.
Mothers and fathers of the faith have handed down to us, again, not as a way of earning salvation, but exactly. as a way of asking God, inviting God to do his work of grace in us.
Oh, that is so awesome. Yeah, and I could see that where maybe there was a time where people were pulling away from tradition in that individualistic, you know, attempt to have that personal faith. But I think that we crave it. I think we were made for it. I think that community and tradition is just part of how God wired us. So I think this is a beautiful way to bring our children in. And also, because I always feel like Easter sneaks up on me, and then I feel this guilty conscience because I'm like, oh, my heart's not really prepared to dive into mm-hmm. Good Friday and to really appreciate Resurrection Sunday. I think that walking through Lent is just such a beautiful way to prepare our hearts. So of course, I'm going to be encouraging everyone to get their hands on this gorgeous devotional study that you created. But let's get practical as well. Outside of just reading this devotional, can we just talk about some things families can do with any age kid, you know, from young children all the way up? What are some things you would recommend we do to get our families thinking about Lent?
Yeah. So one of the first things I just want to start off with is that I want to encourage listeners to guard against a focus on Lent itself and to make sure that our hearts are focusing on Jesus. That we uncover the love of Jesus. And that really is the push of this devotional. Is we spend these 40 days with Jesus in the Gospels, looking at how he loves individuals personally. And I used 1 Corinthians 13 kind of as a filter to say, okay, love is patient. How was Jesus patient? Love is kind. How was Jesus kind? And at the start of this, and you can do this with children who are a bit older, I think. Carissa, my oldest, is 6. So we might start this with her this year. But one of the things that I found helpful is instead of asking, what are you going to give up for Lent? Asking instead, who is God calling you to love this Lent?
Love
is the heart of the gospel. It's God's love for us in Jesus Christ. But then our response as his love fills us up is that our love should overflow into the lives of others. Jesus says, the world will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another, but then also love for your enemies. And our children are watching us. They're watching the way we interact with people on the other side of the political spectrum. They're watching the way we interact with our neighbors who dump their trash in our trash can. Right? They're watching the way that we retort in traffic or the way that we gossip about that person at church. Our children are watching.
Mm-hmm.
Are we loving? And so nothing else in this conversation will matter if we don't start with that first.
Wow.
So we can get to some creative ideas. And this is one of the things I love about both Lent and Advent is that there are a lot of fun ways, if not fun, maybe creative, devotional type ideas
meaningful.
That we can do with our kids. Yeah. But it has to start with the foundation of love.
Okay. That is so good. And because I have snuck into your book, I know that you ask some hard questions, and I know you're asking them of yourself at the same time. But I was pretty well busted by page 2, I think. So that love question is huge and so convicting, and yet it will then motivate us to go into the entire season differently. Before we talk even any more about it, I know I started by asking you what is Lent, but can we talk just scripturally about or I should say just from Jesus's life, can you remind everyone how Lent falls? Why 40 days and what's going on in Jesus's life that originally, like, how did we come up with this Lent thing? Can we just walk through the basics?
Yes, I'll try to keep this short. So Lent is about 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. It's a little bit longer, but we won't get into the details unless we want to. And it's patterned on Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, his temptation and his fasting before his public ministry, which also kind of mirrors the Israelites' 40 years of wandering, in which they were called to obedience. They were called to humility, and they failed time and time again.
Right.
So Jesus perfectly fulfilled what the Israelites failed that way. So that's kind of where that 40-day period comes from. But we have records of the early church. So the disciples of the disciples, practicing a period of fasting and prayer before Easter Sunday. And because this was before the internet, right. People did things differently in different churches. So there wasn't like a one standard, like this is what everyone's doing, until the Council of Nicaea in the 300s, when the church leaders got together and said, you know, there are people who are preparing for baptism that are fasting for 40 days before Easter. Some churches were doing it right at the beginning of the calendar year instead. When the church observed Jesus's baptism. So different churches were doing it in different ways. They got all together. They said, I think this is the best practice, that we would spend these 40 days, 40-ish days leading up to Easter. And then they laid out these traditional disciplines of fasting, prayer, and sacrificial giving as part of, again, identifying with Christ, dying to ourselves so that Christ might live and reign in us.
Awesome. See, Asharita is a Bible scholar. Because you introduced yourself back in episode 34, I think I just completely skipped on having you introduce yourself. But this is where you're really handy because you've got all that Bible knowledge, right?
Oh, so. Well, I mean, I'm a researcher at heart. So if I don't know something, I'm going to look it up.
I so appreciate that. And I mentioned back in episode 34, when we were talking about Advent, that my husband is such a fan of you because he is a research guy. Oh. And he just was like, when I was showing him the Uncovering the Love of Jesus, he was like, oh, is that that girl? Is that the one? Because he
That's
really
high praise
appreciated
there.
Yeah, he definitely appreciated all the research and just Bible knowledge you have. So that's super helpful just to know why, you know, how Lent came to be. And then total side question, because I don't think I'm the only one with some of these questions. So where does Ash Wednesday fit into this? Mm-hmm. Because that's another one that I start to see people on Instagram with ash on their forehead. My son did it at college last year. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's another one of those church traditions. Tell us
that
what Ash Wednesday
kind
is.
Kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
You're being honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, different churches practice Lent in different ways. And unlike Advent, there aren't themes for each week. Okay. So there are just differences in the way things have been practiced. I think this scattering ashes, the first reference we have to that is around the 600s, but it wasn't on people's foreheads or hands. Okay. It was just scattering the ash. And it was a symbol for us to remember our mortality, that we are dust. From dust we've come, to dust we will return. Mm-hmm. And it's a call to humility and repentance. So Ash Wednesday is the very first day of Lent. Okay. This year it falls on February 26th. And it's a call to begin this journey with Jesus by humbling ourselves, mm-hmm. by taking some time to reflect, in what ways have I failed to bear your image into the world? In what ways have I failed to love the way you have loved me? And this is not to beat ourselves up, and it's not to have a low self-esteem. In fact, it's the opposite. It's for us to come clean, to lay these things that our enemy of our souls would want to keep in secret so that we would be in bondage, to bring them into the light of God. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, this is a guarantee, he will be faithful to forgive us,
yes.
and to give us his righteousness because of Jesus Christ. And I think it's such a beautiful way to start, because this is one thing we don't practice very much in evangelical circles, is confession of sins. So to get super practical, if you have kids at home, this is something I've been doing with my children for a few years now. And as they get older, I think it gets easier.
Okay.
But so for, I think, 2 or 3 years now, I've asked them to tell me one or two ways in which they have hurt other people, or they have failed to do what God has asked us to do. And you might want to prompt them if they're young. If they're older, obviously, they can probably come up with their own.
Uh-huh.
Right? But is it like, have you shared with your siblings? Are there any times that you've disobeyed mommy and daddy, or, you know, not spoken kindly? So those kinds of phrases. Uh-huh. And then what we'll do is I'll take just like a simple piece of notebook paper, cut it up into strips, and then we'll write those sins on pieces of paper. And I'll write my own as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then we fold them up, put them in a little jar, and then I'll burn them up. Mm. And we'll talk about how when we confess our sins, God forgives us. And so they disappear, right? Because Jesus takes that on himself.
Okay.
And there's this beautiful, there's so many verses you can read as you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a beautiful passage in Isaiah 61:1-3 that Well, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we'll burn the ashes. We'll burn the papers to ash and then kind of smush those ashes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you have the opportunity to invite your children. Would you like a symbol of this? And my kids decided they didn't want it. It was kind of weird. I'm like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to. But I did it on myself. I just demonstrated. So I took some ash. I made a cross on my hand. I said, our sins have been carried by Jesus on the cross, so we don't have to bury them anymore. And then I read this passage in Isaiah 61 that talks about how he will take away from us our ashes with the oil of gladness and place on us crowns of righteousness. So I took some olive oil. I wiped the ashes off my hand and showed that they're not there anymore. And then we drew little crowns out of construction paper, and I had them color them, and we glued some jewels on them. You can see this on my Instagram account or on the book's website. We have all these creative ways to do it, and there's tutorials too. So then we made these crowns of righteousness. So we ended Ash Wednesday, especially with kids, not with the heaviness of I'm such a terrible person, but with the hope and the joy that Jesus for it all, and he gives in exchange these crowns of righteousness that we don't deserve, but are a complete gift. And so there are things like this that we can do with our children that facilitate conversations of the gospel in hands-on ways that they can understand, even at young ages.
Oh my goodness, this is so great. And I think it just gives us a practical way to have these conversations when sometimes we just feel like, you know, we can read Bible stories over and over, but I love that this brings in just such a special tradition and a way to, yeah, open up the conversation. I'm really excited. I'm going to do that this year. I have not done that before. So you have absolutely inspired me. Thank you.
Yeah. So in the book, at the end of every week, I have these family activities that you can do together. And that's one of them for week one. So there are over 30 ideas in the book. And you don't have to get the book. You can actually download this family, a family Lenten activity guide, I think is what I called it.
I love that.
And you can download that by texting the word love, L-O-V-E, to the number 33777, and I'll just send it straight to your phone. So you don't have to get the book to kind of get some of these creative ideas and just pick and choose.
Oh, you're so generous. You just gave that away on a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Trust me, though, you guys want the book. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that is so cool. I love that. Say it again. Text. I need to write this down.
Yeah. Add this to the show notes. Text the word love to the phone number 33777.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay. That's going to be in show notes for sure. This is also good. And I know the book is filled with practical ideas. And I love that you have the website where there's so many helpful, you know, tutorials and just practical suggestions. I want to talk a little bit about just the nature you really, from the beginning of the book, acknowledge that unlike Advent, which is kind of this joyful anticipation of baby Jesus and you know, the coming king, Advent and Lent does have a little bit of a heavier tone to it. And I know I'm the type that I love celebrations. I love fun things. And so help us moms who want everything to be about happy, 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 walk into Lent without feeling depressed. How can we do this?
Actually, I think this is one of the gifts of Lent. And it's that it does invite us to be honest about the heaviness in our own lives and the burdens in our own lives. And Monica, the burdens our children are carrying, I just can't imagine. These are children who hear about school shootings. Mm-hmm. They hear about their friends committing suicide. Mm-hmm. They have parents who are divorcing. They're children who are growing up in abusive families. And hopefully that's not in listeners' families, but they have children whose friends are going through these things.
Sure.
There are hard conversations that are happening at school. And I think one of the gifts of Lent is that it gives us the opportunity to bring that before God. There has to be space in our lives to lament. There has to be space in our lives to be angry about what angers God, to be completely honest and say, God, I don't get this. This is messed up. I don't even know what to say right now.
Yeah.
And the beauty, Monica, of the Psalms is that we're given words when we don't know what to pray. There are psalms of lament where David and the other psalmists are railing and they're saying, God, how long? How long is this going to happen?
Yeah.
And I think we need to train our children to know what to do in those hard times, to know what to do with the anger, with the heaviness, with the bitterness, with the confusion, with the guilt. Right? Some of us have children who are angry and in their anger hurt other children. Mm-hmm. And we need to walk them to confession. We need to walk them and say, what do we do with the ugliness in the world and with the ugliness in our own hearts? Mm-hmm. And so I would challenge listeners. I know there's a temptation to want to focus on the Easter bunny and the candy and the flowers and the sunshine. And there's a time and a place for that. And I think as we move toward Easter Sunday, there's kind of this climactic moment that gets there. But we start with Ash Wednesday. We start with confession because we need space to grieve. And our children need that as well. Obviously, do it in a way that is appropriate to the ages of your children, that's appropriate to their season in life and what's going on in their life. But I think Lent can be such a beautiful gift that we give our children, that there's this rhythm in the calendar year that we know there will be a time when we can talk about this. Maybe we're not able to talk about what's going on in the summer or in the fall, but we know that Lent is coming. And that will give us space to grieve. It will give us space to talk. It will give us space to confess and then to receive just the infilling of God's love in that space.
Oh, my goodness. This is so good. And even as you're talking, I think I'm feeling a little bit convicted and realizing that how often it is us as moms might be uncomfortable with the hard stuff, you know, as we're trying to deal with our own hard stuff, that it's not doing our kids any favor if we don't invite them into this thing of acknowledging the hard stuff and looking at it in the face and calling it what it is and confessing our own sins. And so I think that for those of us that don't like that part, that don't enjoy the hard stuff, I mean, nobody enjoys it, but some of us want to avoid it and stay real busy or happy or focus on the next exciting thing. I think this is a reminder that our kids need it and that this is really healthy and that for them to grow up in this world ready to face hard things, it's really important that we invite them into a place where they're dealing with hard things in a really healthy way before the Lord. So I think this might be a great challenge for people like me who don't always want to go there. It's just uncomfortable. And I tend to be a glass half full person. And I'm always looking for the next positive thing. But I do think that for kids, you know, I even talk in my book, Boy Mom, about for kids to be, you know, emotionally healthy, they need to know what to do when they leave the house and they face something really hard. Mm-hmm. They need to know that it's okay to have seasons where they struggle and might need help and call out to God. And so for them to be prepared for that, I think we can introduce them to, I think Lent is a perfect time to open up these conversations. Just like you said, it may not always be easy, but if Lent is a time set aside to do this hard work and to bring our hearts before the Lord, what a beautiful opportunity to just walk into that with our kids. So I'm super excited. I appreciate this topic so much personally. So I think other people will too.
Well, I want to add something to that because as we walk with our children through the darkness, we walk with them toward light and toward new growth and toward healing. Mm. And that actually is the meaning of the word Lent. It's the word spring. And so it's not just a physical spring, but it's representative of what's going on in our hearts, right? So in my kitchen right now, I have these pots that have tulips and daffodils and crocuses. And I used to say I have a black thumb, right? I used to kill every plant that I came in contact with. But I said, no, I want to learn how to do this. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing with spring flowers, Monica, is that they have to go through a dormant period. They have to spend about 12 weeks in the dark, in the cold, in order for the flower and that potential to be developed within it. Mm-hmm. And then you
bring it into the light, into the warm space. And right now on my kitchen counter, there are a few pots of these tulips that are just growing. It's just the green leaves right now, mm-hmm. but I can see the potential for the flowers that are going to come out because they spent that time in the cold and in the dark. And this is what we want for our children too. We want to walk with them, not just to leave them in that dark and cold space, but to walk with them into the warmth of God's love so mm-hmm. that we see the blooming of new things. God wants us to bear fruit. He wants our children to bear fruit. And we can see that as we walk toward Easter Sunday. I promise you, if you spend time with God, with your children in the Gospels, and you allow God to pour his love into you, there will be a springtime of your heart that will come. And you come to Easter Sunday and celebrate Jesus' resurrection and his victory over sin, over death, over strongholds, over broken relationships, his victory over everything that is broken and wrong in the world. And if you have walked with him through that personally, as you bring these hard things to him, oh, you will celebrate Resurrection Sunday like you never have before.
Wow. I'm so inspired. I really have this serious anticipation right now to go into this Lent season with my family and to do it different than I've ever done it before. So I'm really excited and encouraged and just can't thank you enough for pouring your heart into studying God's word and creating this devotional and now sharing so much with us. It just means the world to me. Thank you.
Oh, Monica, thank you so much for having me on. There's so much more we could have talked about, but maybe next year.
I know. Well, and we'll be sure to send everyone to where they can find out more from you directly. So before we wrap up, can you just, since I didn't even have you introduce yourself, everyone has to go back and listen to episode 34 about Advent now. But no, do tell everyone where they can find you, anything else about you and your writing that would be helpful, and make sure everyone can track you down.
Yeah, so you can find everything about the book at uncoveringthelove.com. And there are also tutorials on there. There are links to ways you can personalize this for your family, as mm-hmm. well as free resources as well. So that's uncoveringthelove.com. And I'm on Instagram at Ashrita, and just sharing my own personal journey with my family mm-hmm. through the seasons and the ways that we find joy in Jesus in lots of creative ways. So you can find me on Instagram, go to uncoveringthelove.com to get those resources for you and your family for Lent, or to make it easy, you can text the word love to the number 33777.
All right. And then how about your personal website as well?
It's asherita.com. Again, the perks of having a unique name.
I love it. I'm jealous. And you've got other books and resources and so many good things to offer. So people should definitely check out your personal site as well as your book site.
Oh, thank you, Monica. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you are a blessing to all of us. Thank you for your time. And we'll keep following you through the seasons and just keep having you back on to educate us and inspire us.
Sounds great.
All right. Aloha. Take care.
Okay, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And of course, all the things we've mentioned will be in show notes over at monicaswanson.com/episode-43. And you can always find all the history of show notes at monicaswanson.com/podcast. Be sure to use all of the links that Ashrita mentioned. And I encourage you to use that text message code as well. As soon as we finished our conversation, I had to go on and try it. And it worked beautifully. What a fun idea. It is a beautiful download. You're going to love it. Super practical and helpful for your families. So just thank you again, guys, for being here. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, learning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.